Welcome to the Clunatics Podcast. I'm Kurt Graves. For the next two episodes, we're going to be highlighting the art and artists who have been inspired by T.J. Klun to create works of their own. We're starting with the writers who create fan fiction. In other words, authors. Even T.J. will tell you that's how he got his start. Was his early work any good?
Well, I can tell you that it was terrible. And let's put it this way. It was essentially the video game Metroid. I loved it so much because at the very end of the first game, Metroid, you think this entire time you're playing as a hardcore space marine with a gun for an arm, and you are. But then at the very end of the game, the character takes off their helmet and it's revealed that they're a woman, which just blew my mind. And it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. So, of course, I decided I want to write myself into that. And the terribleness of these stories aside, that really pushed me into writing, because even then I wanted to be a writer, even then. And obviously my love of reading went along with that, because I really don't think that you can be a writer if you're not also a reader. You have to read. You have to read. Even if you're not reading in the genre that you write in, you have to read. And I fortunately loved both pretty much more than anything. So that's what I did.
So what is fan fiction? Producer Sita, who we met in episode one, and Jenny attempt to educate me.
Fan fiction is just, it's massive. So there's a world that you're a fan of. Doctor Who, Lord of the Rings, Green Creek, Tales of Arania. What else is there? Twilight. Then sometimes those books and worlds inspire you to create more within them. And that's kind of what fan fiction is people just creating within an established universe and writing more stories to it, writing plays to it, and that kind of thing. Stories, plays, poems. I've seen a lot, really.
Hi, I'm Jenny. I live in Boston, Massachusetts. So, okay, in my opinion, there are two types of fanfic. There's fanfic where you hate what happened in the story and you absolutely need to fix it. And there's fanfic where you love the story so much that you don't want to stop living in that world. And I think all of the fanfiction I've found around TJ's work has been definitely the second kind, where everybody just loves the world he's created so much that they want to keep creating stories in them. So I see it like writing love letters almost to the books that TJ has written. You're just contributing to it because you love it so much.
I can say from a personal experience that kind of what drives me is like, it takes up a lot of space in your brain. So to get it out is kind of great. So, I don't know, when I was many years younger, though I will point out I am the youngest admin, but when I was many years younger, I was like, fell into Lord of the Rings like a lot, and I found groups online where I could just fangirl with people, and I just, in my head, I kept creating more characters and more like adventures, and I needed that space back, so I just wrote it all out. It was pretty terrible, but it was also like a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. As far as I think other people go, I think it's the same. They find a world or universe that really just kind of sinks their teeth into them, and they want to contribute to it. They want to make it their own. They want to just take it and just apply whatever's in their brain to it. And yeah, they just kind of want to share their love of this, whatever it is, to more people, and that's kind of how they do it.
And it turns out that not only was fanfic an important early beginning for TJ, but it's also something that's grown in tandem with the Clunatics group since its inception. Here's Clunatic and fanfiction writer James, who we first met in episode 7, giving me an introduction to the world of fanfiction. One quick note, just in case you haven't read the Tales from Verania series, James uses a ship name for two characters from that series, Sam Haversford and Ryan Foxhart. Oh, and a ship name is something the kids say when they use a portmanteau of the names of people who are dating to refer to them as a singular entity. And the kids say is something adults say when they have officially reached the age at which they will never again be cool.
It was, I think, 2 years ago now that I started writing. It was mainly because it was mainly through a lack of like fan fiction, because it's like Tales from Verania is probably my favorite book series, and there just kind of wasn't anything out there that I could find fan fiction wise. Like there was a lot of fan art out there, but no one had really started writing. So I thought, hey, why not? I'll give it a go. Like try it out, and just yeah, it went from there really. I think everything I've written is for Have Heart. Actually, I don't think I've written for anything else, but yeah, it's the same with the book series. It's a relationship that's always kind of stuck with me. Like obviously it's the main one within the Tales from Verania series. You've got Gary and Kevin as well, but that's kind of on the side. Yeah, it's always just kind of stuck with me. Like it means a lot to me, and I thought, yeah, there's not really much out there for them, so I thought, yeah, why not give it a go, try writing for them.
James was kind enough to read some of his work for us.
2 years, 7 months, 3 weeks, 6 days, 4 hours, and 38 minutes ago, just outside Tarka Mills. You want to what? Gary screeched. Ride on your back so I can charge in and look dashing and immaculate as I defeat the dragon, Ryan said quietly. Gary no liked people riding him. It's racist, Tiki said. Please, we need to save Justin. Gary raised an eyebrow at him. Tiki attempted to raise an eyebrow at Ryan, but couldn't figure it out, so settled on raising both instead. You're going to make me say it, aren't you? Yep, they both said. Now really isn't the time for this. We have people to save. Ryan, Magic, King Foxheart, now is most definitely the time, Gary said. You capitalized that, didn't you? Ryan sighed. Now it must be true, Tiki replied. A tense silence passed over the trio for a few moments before Ryan started talking. Fine, you win. I want to save Sam, Justin too, but mostly Sam, okay? Gary and Tiki waited. More? Seriously? Fine. It gives me a massive fudging... What's that thing you guys say? Tiki leant over and whispered, heart boner. That's it. He gives me a massive fudging heart boner and I want to save him from being eaten by a mother-cracking dragon. That better? Gary smiled at him. Much. Now hop on, we have an apprentice to save. And a prince, Ryan said as he rolled his eyes. Oh yes, maybe him too. If he hasn't been eaten already. That would be such a shame.
James played a role in two of the earliest Clunatic fanfic adventures. What is the Tales from Verania telephone game and how does it work?
The telephone game is basically a group of people, everyone signs up to it. And then once everyone's signed up, you'll put in an order. Then the person at the beginning of that order starts by writing or drawing something based on the subject of the telephone game. So in my case, it was Tales from Verania. So the person at the start could draw or write anything on that subject. Then they would pass that on to the next person who would draw or write something based on what they were given. And then it passes kind of down the line until everyone's had a chance to create something and then just kind of put it all together at the end and see what's happened, really.
And what did happen?
There were some interesting kind of creations from it. Yeah, like a lot of the fan art was quite fun. Just kind of, there's no pressure really. It's just kind of, it's quite easy. Like, yeah, just have fun really.
So the goal of that isn't to come up with like something cohesive at the end that tells a story from beginning to end.
Oh no, not at all. No, it's just have fun. Like just have fun, create content. Like, yeah.
Love that. Okay, but so you also facilitated the Clunatic group fan fiction of the Butler and the Manticore?
I did, yes.
Let's stop for a minute here and go to producer Mia for some context.
So, The Butler and the Manticore is a story that is referred to numerous times in the Tale of Verania series as a reference point for Sam of a romance book that he's read that is very popular in Verania. And James Hudson, bless him, had the grand idea that maybe we should do a fan fiction based around The Butler and the Manticore, which I admit is a very good idea. Everybody really wanted to know how the story would go, and thought, well, we'll do it as a group.
I just wanted to make sure that everyone that maybe hasn't had a chance to read or listen to that saga was on the same page. It is certainly not context that I needed, as I have obviously read every word TJ has ever written and basically committed it to memory. Stop looking at me like that. Narrating takes time, you guys. Just back to James. So how did that come about, and what were the challenges and rewards?
I can't actually remember how that started. I think it was Michael Leslie commenting on a post saying something. It was a post about the Butler of the Manticore in the Clunatics Facebook group. And it kind of spitballed, and I ended up volunteering to kind of run it. And it was enjoyable. It was fun from my side of things, because I didn't write for it myself, but watching it evolve as people added to it and kind of had different kind of takes on how things were going it was interesting. It was interesting to kind of follow it along and watch it kind of evolve over time.
So does that have a finished form yet?
We got through everyone. I don't know if we added an ending to it or not. I don't think we added. I should do that, actually. I should organize an ending, because I don't think we ever kind of rounded it up like completely, like tied everything up. I'll to look at organizing something, because it's like I want to keep it, because it's something that the Clunatics group have created, so I want to keep it that way. I don't want to just like tie it up myself. I want people to actually like volunteer to create an ending, like make it something that everyone's kind of done.
We'll come back to the fate of the Butler and the Manticore later. Are they set upon by bandits? Will they ride off into the sunset? Will they touch a horse at a crossroads and find themselves in a hauntingly idyllic town? Will a perfectly normal 10-year-old girl flip a couple of helicopters at their wedding reception? You don't know. See? Fanfiction is exciting. You can do whatever you want. Or can you? Do you have rules for like how closely you'll follow the rules that TJ has established in his books, or doesn't it matter?
I'll try to stick to the characters as much as possible. Like, cause there's a lot of kind of content for them already, but you can't always stick to how they'll react, because chances maybe it hasn't been written yet. Like, there are situations that I'll want to put the characters in that they haven't been in before, because they haven't like experienced those in the books.
Yeah, I think there aren't really any rules. A tendency is to try to follow the rules that TJ has established, just because we're sort of playing in that world and it's a lot of fun. But then people sort of will take that and make it their own.
So you have to take a little bit of artistic license on that front with kind of situations that wouldn't have arisen, like changing the time period as well. Like there might be, like, how would they react to certain technologies or ideas or that kind of thing. But you can take a little bit of artistic license, but I tend to stick to it as much as I can.
When it comes time to share, where do you share all that work? Or do you not?
I do. It's on a website called Archive of Our Own. It's quite a popular one for fan fiction in general. So like that's where pretty much everyone I know that writes posts. So I thought, yeah, let's put it on there. It's quite a popular one. It's quite a big one.
So if I went to AO3, do I type in your name to try to find it? Do I type in Tales of Varania? What do I do to find your work if I'm looking for it?
Tales from Varania might get you there. Lightning Struck Heart also might. Searching the character names could probably get you there as well. So yeah, search Ryan Foxheart, Sam of Wilds. Yeah, or just search the book name, search Lightning Struck Heart. I probably tagged it with that. You can put all sorts of tags on the work. So I'll have tagged each of the book names in the work so you can find them just if you go on there and search them.
Can you tell me more about the fan fiction community online in general?
It's an interesting one. A lot of it that I've experienced anyway takes place on Archive of Our Own, AO3, because that is quite a big... It's quite a big website. It's quite like well protected, like legally and stuff, because there's been all sorts of like legal trouble in the past for fanfiction authors. So a lot of people kind of flock there to post and stuff.
In the making of this podcast episode, I was introduced to Archive of Our Own, or AO3. And while writing his first YA novel, so was TJ. So you get to revisit the world of fan fiction in The Extraordinaries, where your main character is writing fan fiction. So what was that like?
That was an eye-opener because I went through the wonderful website called Archive of Our Own, or AO3, which is basically the huge central hub for all things fan fiction. And there are some tremendous, tremendous people writing fan fiction whose stories are, Jesus fucking Christ, better than anything I could ever write. Like there's some stuff on there that I've read that is just mind-blowing how good it is. And then there's SpongeBob porn, and that there's some things that I've seen that I'll never be able to unsee. Did you know that SpongeBob has all those holes for a reason, and that when he is in an orgy, it's called getting sudsed? So there's also a Jesus fandom. And I don't know about the Jesus from the Bible, but the Jesus on Archive of Our Own is fucking kinky as hell. And these are the things I learned.
Oh my God. I went on such a journey with that answer. Because you were like, I've been on this thing and let me tell you. And I was like cringing. I was like, oh God, what's coming? And then you're like, it's amazing. And I was like, oh, okay, good. But also SpongeBob porn. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah. No, like, no.
You let me get my guard down.
He is a power bottom.
Oh God.
In case you needed to know that, because I figured the best way to help get the thoughts of that out of my mind and scrub my brain from what I've read is to share it with everybody else.
So,
but at the same time, going back to the good parts, there's just, I think that I had my own hangups with the idea of fan fiction, but I got the chip off my shoulder when I was reading, because not only is the dedication astounding and amazing that the people have to their fandoms, but they are so good. There are some really, really good authors out there. And if I was a kid, if I was a teenager and I was wanting to be a writer, that would be a perfect place to start. Because I essentially did that kind of, sort of by myself, but these people all have communities, people who are encouraging them on, helping them become better. And it blows my mind that there are these people that are cutting their teeth on fan fiction that are going to one day write fantastic original books. And it's going to blow the world apart when they see the level of talent coming from places like Archive of Our Own.
I was lucky enough to get a chance to interview more of the talented people on AO3 for this episode. Did you know that there are people writing original characters for Green Creek there? It's crazy how that series keeps coming up totally organically, like just out of the blue. So random.
When I was in college, my best friend Katie couldn't stop gushing about some book called Wolf Song. And they actually sold it to me by telling me that it was basically Teen Wolf fanfiction, but better. And I will agree, it's phenomenal. It is better than any Teen Wolf fanfic I have ever read. So they did good on that.
So they actually convinced you to start reading TJ by calling it fanfiction.
They did. Because I read a lot of fanfiction. And they were like, yeah, this is basically all those fanfics you like, but so much better. You should try it. So I live mostly in the Green Creek series fandom. I love TJ's other books a ton, of course. How to Be a Normal Person and How to Be a Movie Star are probably my two favorite books of all time. But as for fan fiction and fandom, I live mostly in the Green Creek universe. And I've seen a lot of fanfic that's not really taking and changing things so much as it's sort of adding to missing scenes, maybe, things that don't get covered in the books. So my first Green Creek fanfic was actually written for Valentine's Day this year. And I wrote it for my friend Steph, who had this idea about Kelly and Robbie spending Valentine's Day together. And I ended up just being like, you know what? I'm going to write this for Steph. And it was a short, like 400 word piece just about Kelly and Robbie getting to spend like a very happy and fluffy Valentine's together.
Good. They deserve it.
Writing as gifts to people that you care about, or writing about topics that you know other people might need to be able to read about can be really powerful and can be really fun at the same time.
That's very profound. Thank you. Would you be willing to read some of your fanfic for us?
Okay. So I wrote this fic for Valentine's Day for my friend Steph, and it's called Love is Pure, the Only Treasure, which is lyrics from a song that I really like. Okay. Valentine's Day was a simple affair for Robbie and Kelly. A compromise, if you will, between Robbie's romantic and over-the-top nature and Kelly's preference for the little things. Robbie had the day off, which was almost worse, because if he could, he would spend it preparing some kind of big romantic gesture. He wanted to cook dinner, but after the breakfast debacle, he knew better than to try that and risk ruining everything. Instead, he brought Kelly lunch at the station, and then for dinner, they had pizza at home. The others cleared out of the Blue House for the night to give them some space. Not that Robbie would ever have asked them to, but it was sweet nonetheless. Robbie and Kelly curled up on the couch, Robbie held close in Kelly's arms, and he'd never felt safer, more whole, than in moments like this. They put on a movie, a rom-com, because Kelly knew how much Robbie loved them, one they'd seen so many times that Kelly whispered some of the lines into Robbie's ear, along with the movie, just to make Robbie laugh. It was simple. It was perfect.
That's beautiful. I really enjoyed that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
And I do have a friend, Sam, who's writing a fanfic about an original character they created, and they're just rewriting the series as if this character existed in it. And so it's really cool seeing how this character would like change the asides or like not change certain things, and how Sam is really good at fitting them into certain scenes and their characters' interactions with other characters that we already are all familiar with.
Okay, you got to tell me specifics. What is this Sam person writing about? And I'm sure it's one of the Sams that I'm interviewing eventually. So like, okay, what is the character and what are some of the, like, what's an example of a scene they've been inserted into?
So this Sam person has written a character called Marin, and Marin is non-binary, and Marin is Mark Bennett's twin. And Marin is amazing. I absolutely adore them. And they're really close to Robbie in particular. They've like adopted Robbie as their son now. And so there's this scene that Sam wrote that really stuck with me, where Marin has always had their tether be Mark and their relationship with Mark. And it shifts toward the end of Ravensong. There's like an outtake scene at the end of Sam's Ravensong work where Marin is talking to Gordo and he's saying, "Your tether isn't Mark anymore, is it? It's Robbie now." And Marin's really, really upset because they never wanted to let go of the relationship that they had with their brother, but also they have this new and powerful relationship in their life. It was really beautiful.
I got to talk to Sam about their work and this mysterious Marin.
So I've been writing fan fiction since grammar school, like fifth or sixth grade. Like, I think I started out writing Kingdom Hearts fan fiction. But for me, when I find something that I love, like I really, really, really love, like The Magicians or Green Creek, so, for me so far with TJ's works, I usually write fan fiction about it. That's usually what I do. Like, it might not be a whole lot of stuff. Like, sometimes for some series, it's just an original character because I really like making original characters.
So tell me a little bit more about your Green Creek fan fiction. So I've heard about a character who is Mark's sibling.
They're really talking.
Yeah. Well, this is the one I've heard of. So Mark has a sibling, a non-binary sibling.
I gave Mark a twin because I really wanted to explore Mark a little bit more. Because there's the cast of Green Creek, I think, is TJ's largest cast. And there's just so much about them that I'm really curious about. Like, I'm really curious about just more about Mark. I love Mark. He's, like, my favorite character of Green Creek. I just really wanted to do more. So I was like, what if we give Mark a twin who's non-binary and see what happens and make them a musician who's neurodivergent and see how that would work with Mark? And it worked out really nice. And their name is Marin. It was unexpected to have Carter and his mate, although he didn't realize it yet, burst through the door, the timber wolf almost taking the door off his hinges. "Seriously, Carter, I've told you no wolves in my studio. If you break something in here, I'm coming for both your heads." Marin rolled their eyes at their nephew, and the timber wolf growled in response. Marin and Carter both ignored him. They had gotten good at that by now. Most of the pack had learned over the past year and a half that the Timberwolf was more bark than bite, and it was easier to just ignore him when he was being defensive. "Okay, I know, I'm sorry," Carter said, not sounding apologetic in the slightest. Marin resisted the urge to tap him upside the head. "But it's important." Marin sighed. "You walking in on Mark and Gordo making out again is not important, and I don't understand why you feel the urge to tell me every time. I am not responsible for your terrible timing." Carter turned scarlet. "It's not about that. It's about Robbie." And I leave it like that.
Oh, a cliffhanger.
I learned from the best. His name is TJ Klune. Yes. I really like those cliffhangers too.
Yes, you did. You have whet my appetite, and I will be seeking out the rest of that. So
I'm really good at interweaving characters into worlds, and then when I try to unweave them, it's like, oh, actually, I can't do that. But I made this wonderful character for this wonderful world.
Well, and the thing is, when we read a book, we are creating worlds inside our head. Mm-hmm. And what you have done is you've added an extra person inside that world. So it's just as real as anybody who reads the book and doesn't come up with their own fantastic ways of like adding to the story. Much like we've seen in the Clunatics Facebook group, community and friendship have been created around the fan fiction inspired by TJ's worlds.
Hi, I'm Stephanie, and I'm from Dallas, Texas. And I first heard about TJ's work last year when my friend Sam were both in a book club together on a Discord server. And they talked all about Green Creek and how much they loved it and suggested Wolf Song for the book club. And so we read it. And then I fell in love with the series and TJ's work.
So what was the first thing that got you interested in fan fiction?
So I've always had stories in my head, and I've always really enjoyed kind of after a show ended or after reading a book, kind of just kind of building a world with the characters in my head and maybe sometimes writing them down for myself. And then, you know, reading fan fiction, you know, I always found great stories, but nothing that ever like exactly matched what was in my head. And I kind of just decided maybe other people might like to read what's in my head too. So I just started writing.
Can you tell me just a little bit more about like, what is the fan fiction community like? Like you're talking about being a part of an online book club on Discord. Like, is that commonly how people find each other? Like how are groups formed? How do people share their work in these fan fiction communities?
So I think the fan fiction community, a lot of us share work on Twitter and our Tumblrs. And then a lot of, you know, people kind of just all congregate to AO3, archive of our own. That's the only place that I usually read fanfic. And that's really the only place I post fanfic. But I'll tweet out links of stuff that I get really excited about, or I'll post it to my friends in Discord servers. But I think for the most part, there's a lot of us on Twitter and Tumblr. And I've really only ever had good experiences in the fan fiction community. But I think a lot of us that are in fandom just kind of end up writing fanfic. And then wherever we kind of find ourselves together, we just share it with each other.
Have you started writing any Green Creek fanfiction yourself?
I have. I have written a few fanfics for Green Creek. And then I've, on my docs page, I've got a few outlined for Tales from Verania. And then I kind of wrote one for The House in the Sherlian Sea.
Already?
Yeah.
That book came out like a week ago.
Yeah.
I haven't even read the whole book yet. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I finished the book on Wednesday and then I posted the fanfic on Friday.
I would like to talk a little bit more about Green Creek because that's a world I understand. What type of story have you written or stories have you written for Green Creek? Are you like creating your own characters or are you writing within the world that TJ's created?
So kind of both. I think the fanfic that I really love to write is kidfic. That's something that kind of just, I just love characters and like writing kids. And so it's kind of a merge of both, because some of the stories I'm working on are like original characters that are children of the main characters in this Green Creek world. So,
okay. Spill the beans. Who had babies?
No one had babies. One character is the child of some wolves that get killed by hunters in Washington, and Kelly and Robbie go and they adopt him.
That's one way to do it, I suppose. Would you be willing to read some of your fan fiction for us?
I would be willing. So I'm going to read a little passage from a story I wrote for Green Creek. It's a Gavin POV.
Well, that's new.
Gavin is, you know, on the road and thinking about a certain boy and that boy's family. Sometimes he dreams of Green Creek. He dreams of the clearing and the sunshine and laying against Carter in his wolf form. Sometimes there's another wolf with him. It's white with black spots on it. He doesn't know this wolf, but it feels like pack. The wolf wants to tell him something. It grabs his shirt and tries to drag him towards something. "I can't," he cries out to it. But the wolf doesn't listen. It keeps pushing him somewhere. He knows where this path goes. It goes to the big white house where the pack lives. Elizabeth is in his dreams sometimes. She tells him that it's okay. She sings to him and reminds him of a voice he's never known. She sings a song he knows so well but can't remember hearing. He feels safe and relaxed when she sings to him, and he falls asleep to her voice, content and safe. Carter, Carter, Carter. Always he dreams of Carter, of the stupid boy with the hair like the sun, the boy that smells like mine. He dreams of being a wolf again, curling up on the end of Carter's bed like he'd done so many times before, whirling around in that bed so it always smells like him. It was easier as a wolf. He doesn't like these emotions, the thoughts that sometimes drift to his foster parents, to Elijah, and what she did to him, to where he is now. Will he ever feel the safety of Green Creek again? He has to protect them. They're not ready to face his father yet.
Oh, that's really nice. I got tears in my eyes at the Elizabeth part. I love Elizabeth so much.
I really do too. Book 3 is my favorite. I think Heart Song is my most favorite.
I loved it too. I loved finding out Robbie's story. And then how we also got to weave into the pack again. Like we got to kind of be there with him as he did it for a second time. Yeah, I thought it was really smart. And again, like, it's not that there weren't heartbreaking moments in that book. I mean, like page 3, when we find out why he always wears glasses, I was like sobbing in my living room as I'm trying to read this book. He gets it. He gets to us, but somehow it turns out okay. I have faith that everything will be okay. And if he kills Elizabeth, I will not record that book. I quit.
I think there's some of us that think he might.
No, he won't, because then I'd hurt him physically. So, well, I guess you'll know now. If suddenly they're announcing a different narrator for book 4, you'll know what happened.
I think the only death I want in book 4 is Robert, and that I will just be so happy if that happens.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
I really want them to be okay. I want the Bennets and all of their friends and family to, I don't know. I don't want something. I mean, I know something horrible is going to happen because it's Robert, but
yeah,
I love him so much.
Yeah. It's just so heartwarming to know that these characters that I've grown to care so much about mean something to other people too. Enough that you guys are out there creating even more content. It's awesome.
Hi, my name is Sarah and I live in Adelaide, Australia. With fan fiction, the most important thing is that you're writing what makes you happy and that you have fun with it.
I like that. I don't know how old you are, but you're an adult. And I think we do lose that sense of like just doing things because they're fun.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It's just a lot of fun. And with fan fiction in particular, because you do have like-minded people around you who enjoy the same things, and it's just fun to play in that together. And it, as I said, you don't even have to show anybody if you don't want, but it's just, it takes a bit of pressure off to go play in someone else's sandbox, and you've already got the characters in the universe there that you enjoy, obviously, if you're a fan of the books or if it's a TV show or whatever that is that you like. But then you just get to play in that world a little bit longer, and it's just fun.
I like that you keep saying play.
It is for me.
Yeah. No, but I love that. Yeah. I love that because we don't, again, as adults, at some point we stop thinking mm-hmm. about like playing. And it's like, no, we should go play. It'd be weird if I like called up a friend and was like, will you come play with me? But but maybe it shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah.
I am going to ask you now, if you wouldn't mind, would you read a little bit of your fan fiction for us?
All right. So this is from chapter one of Don't Fade Away. Hey, I breathed. And then, nice to see you too, arsehole. How's your road trip going? Mine's been swell. Thanks for asking. Gavin growled, and I felt it echo right through me. It was a call and response, and one that I've been chasing for months. There's nothing for you here, he said. You're going to get yourself killed. His heartbeat was muffled by the sounds around us, but it felt as steady as it ever had. Too bad that I still knew he was lying. How did he do that? I was taller than him, but not by much, and I couldn't straighten up while he held me against the wall, so I lifted my chin to take what advantage I could. If there's nothing for me here, then why do you care if I get myself killed? His reaction to my infallible logic was stolen from me when a group of people flooded past us on their way to the smoker's area. Get a room, someone called out, followed up, most appropriately, by a wolf whistle. If the way Gavin's lip curled back was any indication, he didn't find it as amusing as I did. I didn't care. I was swimming in green, and I couldn't remember the last time I'd felt even a flicker of it. Gavin scowled at me, and I felt like I could fly because he was here. There was also a big part of me that wanted to tear out his throat, but I was a man of many layers.
With apologies to our Australian listeners who know the effects of out-of-control fires more than most, can you believe that also happened in 2020? I've started to think of the process of writing fan fiction like a forest fire. The spark of an idea creates the flame, and it's almost impossible to stop until it's run its course. And who knows how many lives will be affected before you're finished. And who knows where that spark will come from. Some ideas are unexpected.
But do you know who I came back to? The Archangel Michael, who is a character who is in Burn very briefly, but then he's also a character that is in Into This River I Drown. And it might seem like a very odd thing to choose of all of TJ's characters and all of the possibilities to actually choose him, because he's a weirdo. He's an angel of doom, really. But that's what I liked about him.
Others are a little more predictable.
But another one I think would be really cool to do would be on the background of the We Three Queens. And because obviously we don't know what their actual relationship is. We all presume we know one way or another, but I think it would be kind of cool to go back and do their life stories and then bring them up to the point where they meet Gus and then leave it at that.
So you have this great idea. How do you get started?
Just get stuck in. Yeah, that's the only way to start writing, I think. Just decide what you want to write for and just go for it. Like, if you try to dance around it, like plan it out too much, like just start writing and see where it takes you, I would say.
I mean, mostly I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that the people who are writing TJ fanfic are really writing it because we love the world he's created so much. And that if anyone wants to write fanfic, they shouldn't be afraid, because maybe a couple people will be mean, but most people will just be so glad that you're out there sharing your work and giving us more to read. And we love engaging with people who are collaborating and writing things. And it's a wonderful community.
And I think if someone's wanting to start out, I think they just kind of, I don't know, like I wasn't really sure about starting writing when I did, but I think sometimes you just have to go for it. And sometimes you just have to realize that, you know, someone else is not going to write the story that's in your head for these characters, because it's in your head and it can't get into their head. And I think just knowing that, at least within TJ's work, you know, on AO3 and everything, the community is pretty welcoming and loving, and everyone is always kind of, you know, cheering each other on in a kind of way. And I think it creates a really great atmosphere. And so even if you're like scared and you don't really want to, like, you're not really sure, I think, you know, people will really enjoy just that you're trying it. And maybe it doesn't sound amazing on your first try, but then you kind of like, you know, people will give you great advice and critique and you just kind of become better. And then it ends up being kind of good.
I was going to ask if there's any critical feedback in a way that that could be helpful, because I could imagine being that person who writes something and just kind of holds on to it for a long time because you're afraid of letting other people read it. And so I was wondering, is there an advantage to sharing it? And it sounds like, yes, there is.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, on some stuff I've written, I've gotten comments that are like, okay, thanks. I didn't really need to hear that, but okay. You know, but for the most part, the vast majority of comments and, you know, feedback I've gotten from friends has just been, you know, this is, you know, great and I love it. And so I think, you know, and even with the feedback where, you know, oh, this is so great stuff, you know, there's always, you know, your friends will, you know, it, I think especially with like grammar, I'm not always the best with grammar. And so it definitely helps when you've got friends who are great at grammar and they can say, hey, you should place a comma here. And then that's really fun before you post it so that it doesn't sound awful when people are reading it and they're like, this does not have great grammar.
I would just say jump into it. Like, seriously, jump into the deep end. See what fan fiction there is on Archive of Our Own. It's very queer. You'll like it. It's going to take time, but like, keep going. Like, don't stop doing it because it doesn't feel right. It just means you have to keep trying again. And I think the best thing to do is just explore the characters in whatever world you like, in Green Creek, in Verania, in any other series. And you never know what interesting things you'll find.
Speaking of AO3, on February 11th, you tweeted about your brain going off on tangents while writing Justin's Rania book and posed the question, can I write fan fiction to my own books? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, right now is your time to come out. Like, are you writing on AO3?
No, I do not. I do not like write. I do not write TJ Klune fan fiction on AO3. But, I'll say this, and I'll reveal this now. Let me look at this because I have it in my notes right here. I got this randomly after I wrote that tweet. I wrote right here: fanfic idea. Write a Gary Kevin fan fiction where Gary's a princess as Rapunzel, and Kevin comes to rescue him, and they fall in love. Once upon a time, the most beautiful princess named Gary. And then all of a sudden, his first word is going to be, fuck you, you cocksucking bitch whore. Then I also wrote in question marks, Gary wants to get pregnant so he can poop out a baby. there's my fan fiction. Those are my notes I wrote to myself. And that is going to turn into a short story. Because I wrote The Tragic Life of Lady Tina Da Silva, where it kind of got meta, where she was writing her own faction about Justin and Ryan, and Gary and Tiggy were commenting on it as like kind of like a Greek chorus in the background. And that, I love being able to get just weird about stuff like that. Cause you know, cause when I'm writing free fiction like that, when I'm releasing short stories, I might not try to curb myself as much as I do with normal when I'm writing a book or releasing it. And I say this knowing full well I am the author of The Lightning Struck Heart. So, but trust me, I still have to hold back every now and then. But when I write with these free short stories that I release, especially the comedic ones, like I released the short story, what was it? Paul and Sandy's Gay Porno Adventure, where they were 13 years old and looking at porn on dial-up for the first time. And I love being able to do stuff like that because first and foremost, you don't pay for it, so I can write whatever the fuck I want. And second, it just allows me to, as weird as it is to say, to talk about a unicorn wanting to poop out a baby and get pregnant after he gets pregnant, it's a palate cleanser for me.
So you heard it here first, Clunatics. Not only do we owe whatever that was to fan fiction, but also you can go on AO3, Discord, Tumblr, and Twitter to read and try your hand at writing fan fiction, and you can do so with the knowledge that Clunatic fanfic is 100% TJ approved. On January 17th, you tweeted about Gavin showing up to Sunday Tradition wearing an I'm with Stupid t-shirt, and a fan immediately picked up at the concept and wrote out imagined reactions from the rest of the pack. How often does this kind of Insta fanfic happen, and what is it like to have someone riff off of something that you just wrote in a fucking tweet?
It's hysterical, and I love it. Okay, let's be honest. It's a good, nice little boost to my ego. Let's be frank about that. But at the same time, the fact that I can say something and it inspires somebody else to just create with whatever talent they have, that's just good. I love shared creativity. I love being able to inspire others to help them express themselves. And I just think that's fantastic. And the fact that it can happen so quick now, that was literally within minutes. And then within hours, there was fan art of it. And that happens quite a bit. And I just love it. I don't know. These people are fucking ridiculous, and I love them to pieces.
And speaking of fan art, that's what we'll be talking about next week. So make sure you're following the Clunatics podcast on social media so you can see what we're talking about when that episode goes live. Before we go, I promised a resolution to the Butler and the Manticore. Members of the Clunatic Facebook group should watch for a post where we've partnered up with James to collectively finish the wild ride that is The Butler and the Manticore. There may even be some podcast swag in it for one lucky participant. The finished version of The Butler and the Manticore will be available at clunaticspodcast.com once completed. Unless it's too stupid to exist, and I'm the webmaster, so I get to be the judge, so keep that in mind. The Clunatics podcast is produced by Susanna Frigo, Louis Garcia, Angela Nolmone, Sita Rajasingham, Mia Skibaris, John Steiger, and me. This episode was written by Angela Nolmone. Special thanks to our season sponsor, Chelsea Verzweiveld. Make sure you're following the Clunatics podcast on social media. Join our Facebook group and find us on Instagram and Twitter using @ClunaticsPod. All episodes are now available on YouTube as well. If you want to support the podcast with a financial contribution, hit the donate button at clunaticspodcast.com. Anything we collect from now until July 1st, 2020, will be donated to the Trevor Project. We were so incredibly lucky to have the costs of this podcast quickly covered by your generous support, but now we're asking for a different kind of support. As we consider whether to continue the podcast beyond this first batch of planned episodes, the most important metric we'll consider is whether people outside our little group are listening. Does it have appeal for casual or future fans of TJ Klun? And to that end, we have a favor to ask of you. Share this podcast with someone you know who isn't already a fan. Encourage them to listen to the episode that you enjoyed the most, and help them figure out how podcasts work if they've never listened to one before. And then, have a conversation about what they liked, what they didn't get, and whether they'll listen again. And then let us know how it went. Send us an email at clunaticspodcast@gmail.com. Additional information about the podcast, including episode transcripts and the Clun Speak Don't Be a Dictionary, is available at clunaticspodcast.com. You can find out more about me and my work at kurtreads.com. That's kirtreads.com. All music and sound effects heard in this episode are licensed by Storyblocks Audio.